Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. We are continuing this study in Genesis. This week, this study will be in Genesis 21, 1 through 8. That's Genesis 21, 1 through 8. Little update with Heather and me. Heather's doing better. She's still struggling. So please keep us in your prayers. Been working on my car, my other car. I'm trying to get it road ready. So I've been working on that and several other projects home today. And trying to relax a little bit because really Saturday is pretty much my only day off. And of course you can hear my dog in the background now and she's barking, but officially my only day off. I really work on sermon preps and Bible studies or wrap all that up, but of course keep us in y'all's prayers as always. You can always reach out to me on Facebook, or you can message me through Facebook, or you can actually email me through this. If you guys have my personal phone number, you definitely can message me through that. Any questions that you guys may have on this study or any other studies or any kind of questions that you guys may have, especially with all the things that are going around, happening all around us. I had to pause that because my dog was barking in the background. She decided she wanted to start barking. I guess she wanted her voice to be heard. With everything happening around us, with Russia and all this, I'm going to tell you guys, we are getting close to a lot of end time, revelations around us, and we need to get serious about Jesus Christ and quit pretending. If you are, I pray you are not that kind of person that says one thing and your life is a reflection of something else. I'll tell you, many are. I was talking to a guy today about, you know, car and stuff, and he said, "Are you one of those Jesus freaks?" Because I was wearing my hat and my shirt, representing Christ. I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "I work, a secular job, and I preach wherever they'll have me. A lot of times it's preaching on this website because most churches in my area don't want to hear the truth. They want to find people that will fill them with comfortable lies, and there's a ton of them out there that will fill them with comfortable lies." But he was like, yeah, I know preachers, and man, he's a local. He knew several preachers that they profess something, and then their life is different. I'll tell you, God is not happy with that. And there's many doing it. If you are one of those, you're listening to this, or stop it. Don't think God's going to tolerate it, because he won't. When you die and see him, I pray that you're soul is truly saved. If not, damnation and the bottom of the pit of hell you will fall, because you stand in the pulpit, you profess something that your heart's so far from. Get out of the pulpit if you don't want to live a life truly for Christ, a life that is crucifying that flesh, a life that... See, we are not supposed to be no different. No different. We're not supposed to be double agents. Something on Sunday or Wednesday, if you even go to church on Wednesdays, and then live like a totally different person the rest of the week. I have strong convictions over people that do that. And I make people mad. I say, "You're not even a Christian. If you die tonight, you will burn in hell." And they get mad. Because the Holy Spirit that truly lives in us will correct us. and you're living a double life, you're not feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're not part of the kingdom of light, you are part of the kingdom of darkness. And that right there just rubs people the wrong way, and whatever, let it rub you the wrong way. If I have to preach on this website and they close this website down, and if I have to preach on the side of the street, I will. If I have to preach in a prison cell, I will. I will preach until my voice is hoarse. I will preach to the very end until my life is sniffed from me. Because God's word is precious to me. It should be precious to you. So Genesis 21, 1 through 8. The title of this study is called Keeping His Promise. Keeping His Promise. The overarching theme, the take-home message, if you would have it, is God keeps His promise. He keeps His promises and can be trusted. That is, God keeps His promises and can be trusted. Genesis 21, 1 through 8, that's what we're going to read through here. We're going to read these verses. And the Lord visit Sarah, as he has said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God has commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God have made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham and Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you, thanking you for this awesome opportunity to go into your word. Lord, I pray those that are following this ministry, Lord, that they just cling to the word, that they look at these scriptures more than anything. Go back over them. Ponder them. Meditate on them. Break them down more. Let this spark a fire for them to study God's word more than anything else in their life. More than personal gain. More than anything else. Putting you at the centerpiece of their lives. For when we have that in our life, when we put Jesus at the center, There's a filling those spaces, filling it with true hope, true love, true peace, true joy, beyond what this world can understand that grasps and has a superficial understanding and definition of these topics. They do not truly understand what hope is. They truly don't understand what love is. They truly do not understand what peace our joy is, for they grasp at the material things of this life to bring them, to fulfill them. But us in Christ, abiding in Christ, persevering to the end, we know better. For our hope does not come from this world. Oh, our hope comes from Yahweh, the peace, the joy, the love. God, I pray, Lord, over those that were affected with this hurricane in Florida. The devastation that has occurred over there, we pray for their rebuilding. We pray for those over there that your hand moves. Within the devastation, we pray those that don't know you, they will come to know you. To the chaplains, to the great ministries that will be going over there, God. Let those that go reflect your light to them. To be the hands and feet of Jesus is precious. To go to those that are hurting. To hold them. To pray for them. To tell them better days are coming. This life we will have these storms, physical and spiritual. But there's a hope beyond this world. There's a hope beyond our physical death. I pray everyone here knows who Jesus Christ is, the Savior of the world, the one who died for our sins on the cross, buried and rose that third day, and we know that He's coming back. But He left us the Holy Spirit to fill us, to give us the guidance and the direction, the strength to endure, to live a life that is holy and sanctified. Oh, how the church don't want to hear these words, holy and sanctification. They don't want to be sanctified. They want to fornicate and commit adultery with this world. They want to indulge in the pleasure of this world, to harp the riches and materials of this life, and still call themselves a Christian, a disciple, while there are people around them in need, and they're taking their riches and they're hoarding them for themselves, and they're not reaching out to those in their community that's hurting. I see it all the time, and I know. Oh, where are their hearts for Jesus? Where are their compassion? For they have become lovers of self. And they will have their reward one day. Heavenly Father, we pray over the times that are about to come to America. Majority of the churches are not even ready. They're on their cruise ship, chilling, drinking, being merry. That cruise ship's about to sink. And we pray through that, those that are lukewarm, superficial, that they realize there is a cost. And we pray that when that comes about, they commit their life truly and utterly to You to the very end. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, something you can do on your, if you go back over these scriptures, I encourage you, you can observe reference to time and timing in this passage. And you can look and say, what do these references suggest about God's trustworthiness and His concern for the details of our lives? And you can go back over them and look at that. I encourage you to after this study is over with. But, if a child is asked to jump from a high place into the arms of an adult, some questions may arise, right? Can the person telling me to jump be trusted? Can I trust the fireman to catch me? Can I trust my father to keep his word and not let me fall? Has this person been trustworthy in the past experience? A good deal of trust is involved in jumping from a tree branch or some other high place. The act raises legitimate questions about the strength, the ability, the trustworthiness of the other person involved. A weary child understanding may pause before leaping in such a situation. The trustworthiness of an adult is a critical part of the decision. I know if you really kind of think of all of that, if you had to leap from a building that was on fire, you will have not much option, right? And those down there that have the security net, do you trust them enough that they have placed that net in place to safely catch you when you fall. It's like a two-way thought process. You have that internal thoughts going on. Can I trust that person? Is he reliable or is she reliable? If you know that person for years, you may be able to make a good decision on the character of that person. On the other note, is that person qualified? If you were going to jump out of a building, is that fireman or whoever, the police? We would hope they were trained. We would have to have that trust they were trained. And they, themselves would have to have that confidence and that assurance of your safety. Genesis 21 tells the historical account of the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham and Sarah. God asked them to trust Him with their future, just like a child is asked to trust his father and jump into His arms. They followed God by faith into a new land, and now, years after the original promise of offspring, they saw God's promise fulfilled. Their leap of faith into the future God had for them was met by the faithfulness of the Lord, providing a son and keeping His word. God asks us to trust Him with our lives and our future. He is strong enough to take care of us. His word is dependable and His word is trustworthy. He asks us to trust Him fully and completely with every part of our lives. He is capable, guys. Never think our God's not able. Before we go on, I just want to read a kind of overview of Genesis 21 that leads us all the way to Genesis 21:34. It's kind of an overview. I encourage you to go back and, of course, read these verses yourself. Take notes if you through this if you want to. But it was 25 years after the original call of Abraham. God fulfilled the promise of the offspring through the birth of Isaac. Several times along the way, that promise was reconfirmed. Doubts and faith intermingled in those intervening years. Doubts was expressed most strongly in the birth of Ishmael through Sarah's servant, Hagar. This circumvention of God's plan was unacceptable to God. Faith was perhaps the most strongly evident in the covenant relationship made by the Lord with Abraham. The core verses of this study are sandwiched between two stories involving the king named Amalek, who ruled in the region of Gar. Abraham and Sarah to move into that region told in Genesis 20. The king brought Sarah into the Haran after Abraham presented her as his sister. Amalek was warned by God in a dream about the true nature of Abraham and Sarah's relationship. Though Amalek had not touched Sarah, he confronted Abraham about the deception. Abraham justified his actions in two ways. He noted the lack of the fear of God in the region, and he said that he feared for his life. He also noted that Sarah was indeed his half-sister as a shared father. We are shown again in the fragility of Abraham's faith in certain instances. Genesis 21:9-21 tells of the departure of Hagar and Ishmael from Abraham and Sarah after the birth of Isaac. Though they were driven from the family dwelling, God promised his blessing on Ishmael and promised that a great nation would come from his son of Abraham. This son of Abraham. Verse 22-34 tells of the covenant Amalek made with Abraham after the birth of Isaac. The king recognized that God was at work and through the life of Abraham. He wanted a lasting agreement between their offspring. He recognized the awesome power of Abraham's God. So let's get to our verses here. Let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord visits Sarah as he has said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken." Here with a clear affirmation that God keeps his promises. This verse reminds us of God's faithfulness. Note the dual peril wording in the verse that stresses God's faithfulness to accomplish everything he had promised. Lord visit Sarah, and the Lord did unto Sarah. There could be no doubt who was responsible for what was happening in Sarah's life. Through 25 years had passed, 25 years has passed since the promise was originally made. God kept his word. The Lord act as he has said and did as he has spoken. Repetition emphasizes the certainty of God's words. This verse is a strong reminder of the trustworthy nature of the Lord. We can trust him because he is always trustworthy. He keeps his word and his promises to his people. He does not mislead us or fail us. While his timing may be certainly surprised, that may surprise us, his faithfulness ought never to do so. He is a God who can be dependable on because he is absolutely dependable. This verse hammers home the point of God's faithfulness. The verse reminds readers that the promise was made to Sarah as well as Abraham. Both were recipients of the promise. Both had moments of doubt and questioning, but both saw the realization of God's word. Sarah is singled out in this verse as one who received the fulfillment of the promise made by God, by the Lord. God's promise to Sarah was not a general, generic promise, but a personal promise. When God makes a promise to us in his word, we need to recognize it as a personal promise to us. His word applies to our life specifically and individually, not just in a general or generic sense. God desires a personal, intimate relationship with each of us. Verse 2, "For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him." Just as God promised, Sarah became pregnant, gave birth to a son. The text notes she bore to Abraham a son in his old age, so as to signify the unusual nature of this birth. The birth happened at the set time in the fulfillment of the promise. That is, the birth certainly did not fit the expectation schedule of Abraham and Sarah. After all, it was 25 years after the promise that was given to Abraham. At the already advanced age of 75. But it was at that set time God had planned for this event to occur. At the exact moment, I want to tell you, God's timing is not our timing. We really get that twisted. I can too. I think it's a human flaw of ours. We want it right now, our timing. But God's timing is exact and right on. Waiting. Patience is a key. While God's timing is certainly different than man's timing, God is always on time, guys. Abraham was surprised at the timing. Sarah was surprised at the timing. Guess what? God was not surprised in the slightest. How comforting is it to a believer to recognize God is not surprised by the details and circumstances of our lives. He is well aware of our needs and our conditions of our life. He fulfills his word at the right time, if not at the expected time. You will never face a problem that catches the Lord by surprise. You can be assured of this care and provision as you trust him through those problems. The 25 years of waiting must have been difficult for Abraham and Sarah, but these years led to a deeper faith in the Lord. often is to our great advantage that God allows us to wait on the answers to prayer rather than answering them immediately. God often promises us through times of questionings and times of doubt in ways that we could not have experienced otherwise. And the question here is, in what ways could have been an advantage for Abraham and Sarah that God waited 25 years to fulfill his promise to them? In what ways can God delay in answering our prayers to be a blessing? You know, I think of a child or children. Any of you guys may been parents one time. Maybe you're parents now. Me and Heather, we have not been blessed with children, and that's okay. We've come to that realization. God can still provide us a child, but it's okay if he doesn't. But I've seen parents and her nephews, my wife's nephews, they have children, and a lot of them are now grown. I know when I came into the family, which was a long time ago, Heather and I've been almost married 20 years now, and a lot of them were little, and I got to experience the little one, which is, I won't give names, but he's a lot bigger now, but he was just a baby. But and through that and watching that, you know, you and a lot of you guys can confirm this. Children do not have a lot of patience. When a baby wants something, they're definitely going to let you know about it. They're going to cry. They're going to throw temper tantrums. As they get older, you know, into their terrible, what we call their terrible twos and their threes and the fours, fives, they want stuff. And if you tell them no, they're going to get pretty upset about it. We tell them no for a variety of reasons. One is safety. You know, you look at electrical reciprocals, you know, and a lot of people they baby-proof them. They put those little plastic things on them where the baby will not stick something in there. Why? Because it's protection. They don't want them to get electrocuted. They will stick their finger there. If they don't have anything, they see a baby doing, they tell them no, the baby's going to get mad and start crying because they don't understand the harm. And a lot of times, God sees us as children. As his children, it's all through Scripture. Some of us more true than others. And he holds back things in our lives for a reason. We may not be happy about it. We may get upset about it. And we may throw a fit about it. But the answer still says, he still says no. This could be simply to protect us for our safety, whatever situation. It could be you're not ready for that responsibility yet, so you need to grow and be a little bit more mature before I open that door for you. And these 25 years that Abraham and Sarah, this was a growing process for them. God needed them to get where they needed to get before the child would be born to them. God already knew the mistakes they were going to make. He knew they were going to sin against him, and they had to learn some hard lessons. But through all of that, he was crafting them, molding them for this birth, Isaac. As he does for all of his children, he is molding us, he is sculpting us. We may not understand what some things we're going through right now. We may not understand why our life is, you know, me personally, I would love to be in full-time ministry. He hasn't opened that door for me, so I have not stepped in it. If he ever does, I will step into it. But we have to wait. Maybe there's something he needs me to learn, that I need to learn. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to learn. Let's trust God that he has it by faith and obedience. Let's keep marching on. Verse 3 and 5 says, "And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him." See here the language Abraham called the name of his son Isaac. In obedience to God's instruction that you can see in Genesis 17:19. The name Isaac means laughter. Abraham and Sarah both laughed when God made the announcement they would have a child. You can see that in Genesis 17:17 and Genesis 18:12. This early skeptic laughter would turn into joyful laughter at Isaac's birth. The name Isaac would serve as a constant reminder to them that nothing is impossible for the Lord. You can see that in Genesis 18:14. Note that the text points out that the son was the son born to Sarah. It is a reminder that Abraham and Sarah tried to find a different plan that resulted in the birth of Ishmael. While God promised Ishmael and would make him into a great nation, Isaac was the son of the promise. He was the fulfillment of God's plan, and no attempts to circumvent God's best change that fact. That is, and to no attempt to circumvent God's best change that fact. Our attempts to go around God's plan shows a lack of trust in God's right and God's better way. Abram followed God's word again by having Isaac circumcised when the child was 8 days old. This was in the keeping with the covenant agreement made between the Lord and Abraham, as recorded in Genesis 17:9-14. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant established by God, and Isaac was a product of that promise. Notice verse 4 concludes with the words, "as God had commanded him." While there are many reasons to do what the Lord wants, simple obedience is a reason enough. Learning to obey God quickly and fully is a mark of a healthy believer. Rather than arguing with God or complaining to God, obedience is the proper response for all who would call him Lord. Abraham's prompt obedience to God in his event shows a stronger and deeper faith. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. This points the readers again to the special nature of the birth and the extended time between the original promise and its fulfillment. God keeps his promise in every circumstance. The circumcision of Isaac served as a reminder of the promise God made to Abraham in the past and the covenant promises God made concerning the future still to come. Abraham was reminded of the faithfulness of the Lord, and he responded with a full obedience. And the question here is, how were the actions of Abraham a demonstration of faith in God? And what relationship does our faith in God have to our obedience of God? Times can get challenging. I have tasted and have and will, and I'm not done. The challenges of this life, as time draws closer to the coming of Christ, those challenges will be more intense. Such for those truly professing, to truly profess the true name, Elohim, Yeshua. For there is no other name that can save you or me, Jesus Christ. And when those things in life hit us, it rattles us, it shakes us. It can shake the very foundation of our faith. As Abraham, Sarah waited those periods of time, that 25 years, for the fulfillment of this promise that was given to them. Their faith was shaken. Their faith was rattled. They didn't get it right all the time, but it was a growing process for them. Through that 25 years of shaping and developing who they are now, when they finally give birth to Isaac, is that faith. It's a faith that is waged to the fire of life. See, when these things in life hit us, it should not pull us from God. It should draw us closer to God. And that's what we see with Abraham and Sarah. They made their share of mishaps, sin. And they realized the error of their ways, which drew them closer to God. They realize that faith works right along with obedience. For you cannot have faith without obedience. For it is impossible to please God without faith. And faith is following, even though you can't sometimes understand why something is going down the way it's going down, you still will trust and obey and keep pressing forward. And that's what we need to have solid in our foundation as time draws closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, as Sarah said, God have made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Though Sarah previously laughed at the notion of having a child at her advanced age, she now laughed for a different reason. Her laughter now came from a heart overjoyed by the birth of her son. The fulfillment of God's promise brought a new level of trust in the Lord for Sarah. She found a joy she had not known prior to the birth of Isaac. Perhaps a long wait made the joy of all the greater. She had lived for years without a child. She had endured years of what must have seemed like endless waiting for a promise that had not been completed. She experienced the periods of doubt in God's plan, but with the birth of Isaac, her joy overflowed. It's hard to keep good news to ourselves. Our joy compels us to tell others. Our real joy is contagious. Sarah noted that all who heard of her good news would find reasons to join her in laughter. Romans 12:15 tells us, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. This was certainly the case as those who knew of Sarah's former pain now rejoice for her in God's promised fulfillment. Verse 7, and she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck. For I have borne him a son in his old age. Sarah's connection to Abraham caused her to think of his perspective. She noted how unbelievable it would have seemed had someone told her husband that these events would happen. It seemed as though they would never have children together, yet Isaac had been born. God had provided in an exciting and amazing way. She was not the only one in the family rejoicing. She rejoiced at the joy this birth caused her. And she rejoiced at the joy of this birth brought to her husband. They shared this family blessing together as Abraham, as husband and wife. She noted particularly the old age of her husband. While this was a tactic reminder of her own age, she spoke of it in terms of Abraham's age. She had shared with him in this great gift of a son after a seamless, endless wait. The unusual nature of the birth made the joy all the greater. The long wait made the birth all the more remarkable. God wants to work in us and through us, regardless of our age, regardless of the circumstances of our life. We can and should serve Him as a single or married, with children or without, in every phase and every situation of our lives. Living by faith and obeying the leading of the Lord is for all believers in all situations. Question here is, what are inadequate excuses people use to explain why they cannot serve the Lord right now? How does Sarah's life encounter, you know, these excuses? And I wrote a few verses down here. Psalms 27:1. Let me flip to it. And I wrote the note here, not enough time. Or we don't have enough time to do this, and we don't have enough time to do that. And let's see, Psalms 27:1. I wrote 27:1, but I don't know why I wrote that. But, it's Proverbs 7:1. I turned to Psalms, and I was like, that one don't make no kind of not really going with a, let's get to the right one. Proverbs 27:1, let's see, says, that's more like it. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for what thou knowest, not what a day may bring forth. You know, one of the lies of the enemy is being busy. And you guys heard me say this many times, is being under Satan's yoke. Our lives, when tomorrow and when today's over with, you don't get that day back. It's gone and you have the next day. And to me, a day that goes by without witnessing, without telling somebody about Jesus. Now, you can do that today. It's so easy to on social media to do that. And that's a way of reaching people, is through social media. You can post scriptures. You can send devotionals. But to go a day without doing something for Jesus Christ is a wasted day. We get so busy with our work schedule. We get so busy maybe with our family. And we forget the things of God, and that's not spiritually healthy for our lives. You may say, well, I will do that tomorrow. You're not given tomorrow, guys. Today, tonight, this could be my last message. It could be. I'm not given tomorrow. I am given this moment, this day, these minutes, these hours. But one of the lies of the enemy is, you got tomorrow. No, you don't have tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. James 4:13-15. Life is just a vapor, guys. It's a puff of air. And what we do on this short period of time for Jesus is most important than anything else. Verse 8 says, And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Isaac grew and reached that age, usually 2 or 3, when he was weaned. Occasionally, this occasion marked by a great feast, Abraham wanted to recognize this new stage of the boy's life by hosting a large celebration. This celebration was a reminder that God had kept his promise, and that Isaac was the evidence of that promise kept. Not only would the celebration mark a millstone in the life of Isaac, it was a means of recognizing the provision of the Lord. All who participate in the feast would be reminded of God's promise made and kept. We sometimes mark special occasions like birthdays and anniversaries with a celebration or a meal. Churches sometimes celebrate important millstones with events or fellowship meals. Believers can also mark special moments in life like the salvation of a loved one or the baptism of a new Christian. These moments not only celebrate the event, they are testimonies to others of God's faithfulness and God's provision. These gatherings remind us of the faithfulness of our Lord and the blessing that comes to us as we follow God by faith. All who gather for the celebration for the young Isaac could know the testimony of the work of God in the life of Abraham and Sarah. They could witness firsthand the work of God in the course of human history. They could see a God who intervenes in our life and calls us to faith. They also can see the results of that faith as they celebrate this special occasion in the life of the promised son. And the question here is, in what ways can believers celebrate spiritual millstones in life? And what are the benefits of celebrating these special moments? You know, I know some churches, they will give certificates for baptism, water baptism. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now some will say yes. A water baptism is only showing, or supposed to be showing, something that has already taken place in one's life. Water baptism does not save you. The Holy Spirit, God, is the one that saves you. The water baptism is a sign of something that has taken place. You want others people to recognize that God has came into your life, the Holy Spirit, and hopefully this has been explained to that person being placed in the water. Sadly, I don't believe a lot of times the preacher or the pastor or whoever is doing is truly explaining what is going on. I don't think they explain that now your life will be different. Do you understand what you're signing up for? Do you know there will be a cost one day? Maybe even your very life. But now all your aspirations and dreams that you have for yourself is secondary compared to God. Your life needs to be the centerpiece. Because you're representing Jesus Christ. But I don't believe a lot of times that it explained. But if it's done right and explained right, and that person do truly accepts the cost, and they then say, "Yes, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have counted the cost. I do not care what will wait for me. I will still stand for Jesus Christ, regardless if it costs me my own life." I guarantee you, if you just hit people up, they're getting baptized, especially here in good old USA. And you start talking to them. I was talking to a person one time that, and I'm not going to give names, but it was a young guy, and I started explaining the cost of discipleship, and he just got baptized. His eyes got so big, and he was shocked, and I started quoting scriptures, because I always like confirm scripture and what I'm saying when it comes to that kind of topic, and he just didn't know what to say. His preacher didn't explain it to him. Preacher just wanted to say, "Hey, I baptized somebody, I guess." And that's sad. But if you truly have counted the cost and that water baptism, you get that certificate, it's a reminder of that commitment that now you are no longer old. You are new in Christ. You are now signed up into the army of God. You are now prepared for war, and you're going to wage it to the very end if it costs you your very life. That's a great reminder to look at that certificate there. Some people get ordination certificates. I have an ordination certificate. I mean, it's a piece of paper, but it's a reminder of what me as a preacher should be standing on truth. I look at that as a point that I have signed up to be a preacher and to go to God's word through everything and anything that may happen to my life. I will still stand strong with him. And it's a reminder, even though he slay me, as Job said, I will still, I'm paraphrasing, I will still worship him. Closing out several points here. Closing out, and you can jot these down if you want to. You can go back and listen to this whole study. God can be trusted to fulfill his promises on his time, his time, not ours, his. We must find ways of remembering God's faithfulness to us. God's provision should be celebrated as an act of worship and thanksgiving. Remember, God's timing is not ours. That process of waiting is to grow us, to develop us. And it can be painful because we want results immediately. I know I get that way. I want them immediately. But I have to pull away from it and say, "Hey, God's doing something here. I don't understand it, but I will follow him wherever he leaveth me. I will follow." Some reflections that you can reflect on here is in questions. God keeps his promises. He is not a promise breaker, everything that he has promised in his word, it will come to pass. Here you can list actions to take after God's promises are realized. You can determine if there are fulfillment promises on which you have not yet taken the action list. You can take that action or actions, and you can record your thoughts. Another thing, you can list ways that maybe you want to take this to your church and talk about it. Can be reminded of the faithfulness of God in our lives. You can know events, occasions, or special moments that have taught you to trust God more and to recognize His trustworthiness and how these can encourage you. Lastly, you can list ways God has provided for you. You can make a list. Just to have a place, a shelter over one's head is a blessing. To have plenty of food at your home is a blessing. To have good health is a blessing. We take these things granted. To have two hands and two feet and to be able to breathe the air is a blessing. We take these things for granted. God provides for us. Maybe you're suffering with sickness and everything. And definitely send me an email if I can add you to my prayer list. But we will experience things in this life that can be challenging too. We can experience sickness that's devastating. Not because God is bad, because this earth is cursed and we have sickness and we have health issues. God can still heal. But if He does not heal in this lifetime, if you are truly His, He will heal you in the next. Keep that in mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just thank You for this opportunity to just get into Your Word. We lift Your name above any other name. Those that are listening, that are following these Bible studies, God, we lift them up to, and we pray whatever is going on in their lives, God, I'm not physically there, but You are. Whatever things are challenging them, what things are stressing them out, God, we lift them up to You. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit moves, and we pray that they are Yours. If they not, Lord, we pray, Lord, that through these teachings, it encourages them to go deeper into God's Word and to realize what it means to be a child of God. For we know Your Word will not go void. For You can reach beyond that I cannot reach. Your presence, Your all-knowing, Your power, Your all-compassion, that Your amazing grace, Your amazing mercy. Oh, it rattles me. It shakes me to my core. You see those are hurting. You see those are in need. You're reaching out to them right now. You're drawing, what, tell them, come to me. You're telling them to come to you, Lord. And all they have to do is say, here I am. Here I am. For there is no special prayer to pray. Just laying yourself out there and say, here I am, God. I want to give it all to you. Show me how. If a person asks that genuine in their heart, you will. You will provide. God, I pray as we just go through this weekend and this week, or whatever, whoever's listening at whatever time, Lord, that you give us strength of the many challenges that we face in this life. Of course, we, once again, we lift those that are devastated by the hurricane in Florida, God. We, of course, lift up those being touched by this war with Russia. The many that are hurting in the Ukraine and all the surrounding areas. The strain that is putting on other nations, and that will put. God, we pray over America. We pray over her churches. We pray their church, our churches here in America, return back to the preaching of holiness and righteousness. To be separate from this world. Of course, we love this world, but we are not supposed to conform and indulge in this world. Our cry should be to put you first, everything second. To live in you, to abide in you. To say, I have count the cost, and wherever my life may look like, here I am, God. If you have given me the opportunity financially to reach out to people in the community to help them out, they're in need, Lord, here I am. Is it the gift of going out there and to just go and just to knock on the door and to mow somebody's lawn? Oh, the list can go on and on. If we're listening to the Holy Spirit and we are not self-loving ourselves and loving who we are in this flesh and heaping the materials of this life on ourselves, and while our neighbors are suffering greatly, for that is not the heartbeat of the gospel. That isn't the heartbeat of Jesus. For he reached to those in need all through his ministry. And we should be like that. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, you guys can reach out to me on Facebook. Or you can send me a private message. Or you can email me through this website. Y'all have a wonderful rest of the day.